It was after this that he cultivated deliberate illusion and dabbled in the notions of the bizarre and the eccentric as an antidote for the commonplace.
Welcome to another episode of Antidote for the Commonplace podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Matt, today joined by Jonathan and Derek, and we are talking about The Walking Dead once again. Today we're going to wrap up Season 3. That's going to be a discussion of the last four episodes of the season.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the first 12 episodes of Season 3 through three other podcasts, and so now we're just wrapping up the fourth quarter. This season was 16 episodes, which is the longest thus far by just a couple extra episodes from Season 2, but it brings the show to 35 or 36 episodes total, I think, now.
35
episodes between the three seasons, so not a ton, but you know, it's obviously coming back for Season 4, and who knows how many more, because I think the episode 16 broke records once again for viewership, so obviously continues to be wildly popular. So when we last talked, we came off of episode 12, which was the clear, I've got a clear one, I think, right?
Yeah, it's clear.
So we went from that, which was outside of the prison and the road trip with Rick and Carl and Michonne, and then episode 13 kind of keeps up with the outside of the prison stuff, meeting between Rick and the governor that basically encompasses the entire episode. This one, for me, I thought was an okay episode. I thought the Rick and the governor getting together finally was something that kind of needed to happen based on how the comic book storyline runs. You just kind of expected them, you know, they would have some sort of face-to-face meetings. So it was kind of neat that they did that. But obviously, you know, there's got to be most of the viewers maybe strain some credulity that Rick doesn't just shoot him, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know, just watching this episode, you knew it was going to be a come down from Clear, which I thought was one of the best episodes that they've had.
Yeah.
And so coming to this episode, you know, you kind of had to temper your expectations because you knew it wasn't going to be as good as that one. I feel like this was kind of just a place-setting episode. Kind of like you said, Matt, at this point we kind of felt that you had to get the governor and Rick in a face-to-face meeting at some point, and this was about the best they could have figured on how to get that done.
Yeah, and I think this one really drives the last part of the season, because the meeting and the terms and everything that are set, that sets up, you know, what's going to happen from now until the finale. So it's definitely a necessary episode. And I enjoyed it. Just the only problem I had was the way Rick has been with people he doesn't know, much less this governor guy that he knows is dangerous, has been to just, you know, shoot them before asking questions or whatever. You know, he's kind of grown to be the us or them survival mode type of guy, and that was the only thing that bothered me, just that, you know, he didn't even really think about shooting him. I guess he had his gun on him for a little while, but he thought, you know, he would be able to negotiate with this guy. And they do kind of bring it up
one of the things that I did like about this episode is I like when they keep kind of tight focus on something. A lot of times The Walking Dead can feel very, I don't know, I don't want to say unfocused, but just very scattershot. They're trying to do too much at once. And, you know, with Clear, last episode, they focused just on, you know, Rick, Michonne, and Carl's road trip. And on this, they try to focus only on this, you know, parlay between Rick and the governor. There are, you know, a couple of sides where we see Glenn and Maggie, you know, having sex when they should be watching out. Daryl or Merle trying to get this party to go out and jump the governor during the parlay. You get kind of those two storylines as an A and B storyline, but by and large, everything is kind of revolving around this meeting between the two groups. So I did like that aspect of this episode. That said, we still have the unfortunate aspect that Andrea is completely impossible to like at this point. You know,
yeah.
Even when she gets you know, starts actually doing something and gets this meeting of the two groups together, you know, she still leaves with the governor. Even after Herschel told her, hey, he's a bad man with darkness inside him.
She
goes with him. And I don't know why they didn't just say, hey, he, you know, threatened to rape Maggie or something like that, you know. I still don't understand why they don't just come out and tell her exactly what terrible things he's done. They just kind of hint at it, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like during the meeting, though, how the Woodbury version of the prisoner characters all kind of like paired up. So they had like, you know, Rick and the governor meeting, and at the same time you had like, you know, the badass right-hand men meeting with Daryl and the Martinez guy, like just going for the zombie kill contest or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you had like the reasonable advice men with old man Herschel and Milton sitting down, you know, discussing things. I thought that was kind of neat. And it reminded me of in Shaun of the Dead where they meet the other group and it's like, you know, mirror images of each other.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of this episode, too.
I do think that's kind of cool. And I also like that Andrea has no one to talk to. Like, she's originally in the parlay, and then Rick and the governor are like, why don't you wait outside? Men are gonna talk.
Yeah, yeah.
They just kick her out.
Yep.
And were they very specific on how she organized this meeting, too? Like, was this in a previous episode?
No.
She visited and, like, then went back to Woodbury, but it seems like they were kind of murky on how she orchestrated this thing.
Yeah, I don't think they kind of revealed some details after the fact, just that she was the one that put it together, but I think they were more going for, like, the shock factor, because it just kind of picks up with Rick walking into this building and Daryl, you know, securing the outside, and then all of a sudden the governor's in there.
Yeah.
Which didn't really work, because they showed that in the preview.
Yeah,
the week
bad
before.
With how they put together those preview things.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's why they didn't explain that, because that's what they were going for, you know, was the shock of Rick walks into here and then all of a sudden the governor's in there. Holy shit, you know, what's going to happen now? But since they showed that beforehand, we kind of knew what was going to happen. It was just kind of odd how they throw you into it, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that one, I think, is just the set, you know, that's the setup for what's going to happen next. The main thing coming out of the episode being the governor wanting Michonne, and then how Rick is going to deal with that. You know, what's his decision going to be? So,
I didn't like Daryl aiming his crossbow at a pickup truck. I forgot about that. But, like, when that thing's rolling up or whatever, and he's, like, all badass, like, I'm aiming my crossbow at you. It's like, no expert, but I'm pretty sure that crossbow bolt would just, like, deflect off the windshield, and you'd look like an idiot.
Yeah, maybe he was just getting ready for when they step out, you know.
Right. Yeah, but they could have just run him over.
Right.
If they wanted, or shot him through
well,
the
Well, maybe he was going to fire it into the tire.
Okay, yeah. Disable the truck.
Right.
With the flat tire.
That would work, too.
Momentum.
Yeah.
Well, then he'd roll out of the way.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't like tactical blunders like that.
Yeah.
But oh well. Go on.
So, yeah, I was just going to say for the next episode, you know, the main things, we've got Rick dealing with what's he going to do with Michonne, and then we've got Andrea finally coming to the conclusion that, you know, we've been pissed off at her the whole season for that. She realizes the governor is an asshole and not an asshole. He's, you know, a psychopath that is going to possibly just kill everybody at the prison, kill her at some point, you know, who knows, whatever he needs to do to retain his power. And so she decides she's going to have to kill him. And that's basically, you know, where we're at with that episode. And I don't know, I guess the thing I had, the one question I had for you guys was when Milton stops her from shooting him, when they're above his torture chamber, so he shows her, you know, this is the torture, secret torture area, and then that's when she makes up her mind, okay, I've got to kill him, there's no other solution, and she points the gun, has the line of sight right there, can take him out, and Milton stops her. I know Milton is his friend, but based on, like, what Milton does later on, I kind of feel like that was just like a, we don't really have any other solution. We can't kill the governor right now. Let's just make Milton do this, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they don't give proper motivation to characters at times. Like, it's just, they're doing what they're doing because that's what the plot requires of them.
Right.
Like with Andrea going back to the Woodbury. It's like she has no reason to truly go back to Woodbury, and yet she still does.
Right, and I think that's why many people probably don't like that character.
Right.
And just the way they've written her and the decisions that they've had her make.
And was anyone else pissed off during that scene where she's, you know, standing over the governor when he's putting together his, you know, his torture chair? You know, he walks in and Milton's like, oh, hide, and, you know.
And she just stands there.
And he goes off to the side. And she just stands there in full view. Like, she doesn't duck down. She doesn't obscure herself. She's just standing right there waiting for the governor to look up at her. It's like, I couldn't tell if that was, if that pissed me off so much just because I hate Andrea and it was just bothering me. Like, if I didn't hate the character, if I would have let that pass, or if I didn't let it pass because I hate the character. I'm guessing I would have hated it either way because it was just totally ridiculous.
Yeah, I that same thought crossed my mind. The only thing I could think was, like, she didn't want to walk because it would make a noise or something. But, I mean, Milton did it, so I guess that's not really the case. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was weird. I thought they were trying to make it more tense by giving that shot, you know, there's that chance that he might look up and see her. But, I mean, then she could just shoot him anyway.
Right. I don't know, I thought it was so dumb.
Yeah. You just got to the point where you're like, how many times are you going to have the opportunity to kill him and not do it?
Right.
For Andrea, you know, between the knife to him while he's sleeping, and then got the gun right there. He's not expecting it at all.
Yeah, and I think that I guess we can talk about this here is the you know, Andrea started out as a pretty okay character, and then especially this season just went off the rails and kind of just everyone hates her now. And I feel like Lori kind of follow the same track where she started out okay, although she didn't start out strong because she was sleeping around when on the main character, little did she knew, but the audience knew. But anyway, Lori, you know, started out where she was an okay character and then just kind of went off the rails and became this, you know, dumb bitch that you hate because she's... And I don't know exactly why she went off the rails, but I'm looking at the two situations, and I feel like where the two characters started going down the path where the audience actively hates those two characters is when they're starting to make decisions that the plot is requiring of them rather than is truly character-based, you know?
Right.
Where, you know, Andrea's starting to, you know, get in between Rick and the Governor or Rick and Shane, or, you know, Lori starts playing Shane and Rick off of each other. There's no real reason for that from a character that's rooted in the character's truth. It's all because that's what the writers need those characters to do.
Yeah. And it, you know, that's it. Those two characters, and then they end up dying too.
Right.
Which,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. Which, we will get to in a little while here, but just to jump the gun a bit. So they, you know, they both die. And I think, I think there wasn't anybody really upset with either of those decisions to kill off those characters, probably, but especially Andrea. But the one thing you can say, Lori's death, at least for the story, brings about a lot of interesting things, you know?
Right.
Where Rick is losing his mind and Carl has, you know, lost part of his humanity, and there's different things they can explore because of that death. Whereas Andrea's, I just kind of feel like, well, no one cares, and it's not really going to do anything for the story either.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that I get the feeling that the writers got to a point where they realized that they screwed up these two characters, had no idea how to rehabilitate them, and so just decided to kill them off because they were already hated by the audience, and they needed someone to die, you know?
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be. I don't know, you know, if Andrea, though, was not a hated character until this season, you would think that the story arc and the decision would already be made.
True.
But I don't know how ahead of the writing process they get, so maybe not.
The other thing that I considered is, you know how the guy who played Dale has been in a lot of Frank Darabont's movies?
Yeah.
So has the woman who plays Andrea.
Right.
And when Darabont went is when they killed off Dale. And I feel like there was some, you know, some of the actors may have requested to be taken off because they wanted to work with Darabont or what have you. So I feel like that it could be that Lori Holden was just, hey, I want to get out of here. Can you kill my character off? But
could,
I don't know why anyone would do that because it's a huge
show to be on. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But yeah.
I feel like that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, or who knows, with all the changing of the showrunners, too. I mean, maybe some of these certain character deaths were, you know, arguments.
Disputed
points, yeah.
I just find it weird that they killed Andrea because she was such a fan favorite in the comic that you would have thought they would have tried to make a badass woman character beside, and they just kind of failed at that. I guess they kind of have it with Michonne. But Michonne's more of a visual rather than an actual character, you know?
Right.
For now.
Right. She's starting to come around.
Right.
But, yeah.
I think Carol and Maggie are more interesting.
Yeah.
Maggie's definitely more likable, and Carol has actually become pretty interesting,
yeah.
I think.
Carol's actually my favorite woman character on the show now.
Yeah, same here.
Probably followed by Sasha. That is her name, right? Sasha,
yeah.
Tyrese's woman?
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah. Anyway, we kind of got off topic of this episode, but
yeah, just to get back into the episode real quick, I guess this episode I did not like very much at all. Once it got to be Andrea on the run, I've just kind of lost all interest. I don't know if you guys felt the same. I mean, I know they were going for the tension when she gets into that building and he's after her and it's hiding in the dark, but you know, horror movie style. But I just did not care because Andrea was a character that I just no longer care about. So I just didn't feel any tension in those scenes. And you know, yeah. It was surprising at the end when she makes it out only to be captured by him. I will say I didn't see that coming, but I also didn't care. So this episode is my least favorite.
That's the root of the problem, is that you don't care about Andrea anymore. But I also found it interesting how, like, a person on foot just cannot escape from a guy in a pickup truck, like in open country. Like, he just finds her wherever she is. You know, you can't hide. I don't know. I just don't know. I just feel like I could run outside my house and like actually lose somebody or whatever if they were after me, because you could. I don't know. It's just weird.
Wooded area.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the focus of the last two episodes of Clear and the Parlay episode. And this one kind of continues that, where it focuses only on the Woodbury folks. And while I like the focus of the episodes, it becomes problematic when the focus is on all these characters who you don't like. You know, so instead of focusing on Rick and Michonne and Carl, who are interesting, or, you know, Daryl and Herschel and the governor and Rick having a parlay and all this, which is interesting, instead we get, you know, Andrea and Tyrese and, you know, all this bullshit that we really don't care about. While the focus is interesting, the people are and the characters are just not there, so I felt like this was a fairly weak episode because of that.
Yeah, the only character thing that I did like was the fact that Milton kind of takes action finally and burns the zombies. So that was, because Milton has really become a more likable character by the end of this season and a more interesting character.
Yeah.
But that was, I did like that, but obviously, you know, he doesn't do a very good job of acting when the governor comes and sees him. You know, oh, hey, I heard somebody burned all the guys. You got any idea who it could be? Ha ha. You know, I just felt like, God damn it, man. Like, could you telegraph it even more?
Yeah. I will say that I did like the, I thought that it was effective when they were doing the, you know, the slasher stalker horror portions of the episode. Like, I felt like they have kind of gotten away from a lot of the actual horror elements of the show. I mean, yes, there are zombies there, but they're mostly there for cool zombie deaths. They're not really there to play up the horror and the tension. And so when they got to this episode where, you know, the governor is going full on Freddy Krueger, down to the, you know, raking the metal on the chain link fence, you saw a lot of those horror tropes in this episode, and I thought that was
the whistling.
The whistling. I thought it was fairly effective, and I like seeing that brought back to the show a little bit.
Yeah, it gets back to the character that's in danger. You don't care about, so it's hard to care about what's going on screen.
Right, yeah, you still don't care about her, but
yeah. So, I mean, of the four episodes we're talking about tonight, this one's definitely my least favorite. I assume you guys would agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, maybe we should move on to a better episode, number 15.
Indeed.
All right, so this one starts off kind of interesting because Rick has decided now he is going to deliver Michonne to the governor. So you know, the last time he was struggling with it, and he had told Herschel, you know, this is what the governor told me. I didn't tell the group. I'm hoping you can talk me out of it because I'm thinking about turning her over on the off chance that the governor does leave us alone if we give her to him. So he decides that's what he's going to do. You know, gets the Dixons involved. They're going to help take her down and deliver her. And then that kind of sets up, you know, the main conflict of this one where you have Merle deciding that he has to do it because Rick's going to chicken out. And so he's going to go rogue and just take Michonne himself. And then this will be the way that he gets accepted into the group because he'll be able to do the dirty work that nobody else in the prison group can. So that's kind of what this episode's all about. And then, you know, we get the big event at the end where Merle actually attacks the governor after deciding that he'll let Michonne go, and he ends up, you know, attacking the governor and eventually gets killed and zombified, and that's kind of the big deal at the end here, which, you know, makes this a pretty important episode, I think. The only question I have for you guys on this real quick is, so when Merle is killing all those men and then the governor starts fighting him, why did they need to have the governor bite his fingers off? If he was just going
to
shoot
show
him.
How crazy he was, I guess.
Yeah, just to show crazy.
Okay.
Crazy shit.
Because when he did that, for some reason in my head, I was like, okay, well, he bit his fingers off. He's obviously going to survive this then. But then he just shoots him.
Yeah. That seems to be the case.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was a pretty good episode. I thought it was interesting. I didn't really get Rick's dilemma. I mean, I don't know, I felt that he wasn't going to turn Michonne in from the beginning and then was confused when he decided to go do it. And then when Merle brought up some valid points about the governor's not going to, you know, agree to just leave you alone anyway, and he's going to torture her and that's going to be on you, and you'd rather do that than, you know, spare one bullet just to kill the man or whatever. And Rick just, like, stares at him and he's like, yep, well, still, we're taking her in or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, kind of want to kick Rick for it at the time, but I thought it was kind of neat to see Merle go through kind of a transformation or whatever. I don't know. He's like kind of sympathetic by the end, I think.
Yeah. And I do like how they also took this as an opportunity to flesh out Michonne a little bit more, even though she's, you know, becomes uncharacteristically chatty. But I figure that was a her trying to find a way to get out of the situation. So I don't feel like it's totally betraying the character that we already know.
But yeah, but it's a lot better than, like, having no words for episodes at a time.
You know? Right, exactly.
And just, like, scowling and looking pissed off.
Yeah. And I guess this follows the show's penchant for really fleshing out a character and making us like a character and humanizing a character, and then kill them in the same episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, becomes kind of a trope at that point, where it's loses a lot of meaning, but I guess that's how they do it.
Yeah. When Merle first let her go, and then it cuts to the scene of him in the car, drinking the booze, surrounded by the zombies, did you guys think that was just him committing suicide?
Yeah, I thought it was him committing suicide.
Because that's what I thought.
And then when he started, like, driving, I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
I figured he was up to something, but I didn't know that it was what it was. Until I saw that he was leading the zombies somewhere, then I put it together. But
yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool listening to the old school music and drinking whiskey. Cruising around. I don't know.
Yeah, it ended up being pretty cool what he did, but at first I thought I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, man, he's going out via suicide? Like, this sucks. And then once he started driving and you could tell where he was going, then I thought, oh, okay, he's going to try to badass ambush these guys.
And I thought it was pretty cool tactics. Like,
yeah,
it was really neat. And just think if like that was their plan as a group, they could have taken them all out with no problem, because it looked like Merle himself took out like half of them.
Yeah, he
did. So if you had Daryl, Maggie, you know, Glenn and Rick there, they could have easily, you know, taken everyone out. And
right.
I think just one other person would have been sufficient.
True.
Yeah, even just Daryl. Yeah, it's it was kind of surprising to me that, you know, because the governor was basically the one who was going to do that tactic to the Rick's group, you know, when they come to deliver Michonne. So I was kind of surprised that Merle was able to get in there before them and set that all up. So he must have known, like, okay, you know, Rick needs to be there at 2 o'clock, so the governor will be there at noon, so I'll get there at 11 a.m., you know. It felt like something like that.
Merle didn't get there before the governor. He,
right.
he rolled up after. He rolled up with the car.
Yeah, because they
ditched the car.
They just saw the, yeah. But he was able to sneak around without being noticed, I guess.
Right.
They were distracted by the car, I guess.
Yeah.
So the Daryl killing Merle zombie was pretty nuts at the end.
Yeah, I had a theory that at the end of the season, Daryl would have to kill Merle because Merle's being crazy. So I ended up being right, but not zombie Merle.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I figured Daryl would be the one to kill Merle, but again, not like that.
Yeah. And the only other major thing that I remember from this episode was Rick decided, you know, near the end of the episode to have a discussion with the group and basically kind of ended his dictatorship that he set up at the end of season 2, where, you know, after the shit went down at the farm and he had to kill Shane and everything, he declared, you know, Rick Law or whatever. And
Ricktatorship,
yeah, and took over, you know, whatever he said goes type of thing. And then he kind of relinquished that and then now went back to, you know, group democracy, voting on everything and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I felt like that this is kind of what we needed to see so that we know he's kind of back. You know, he's thinking rationally again. He's not lost his mind anymore. You know, he's going to be back to you know, season one Rick, I guess.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think it's kind of ridiculous that Rick has this speech to the group. You know, it's like, yeah, we all need to make a decision as a group now. We need to have discussions on this. And then he, like, drops the mic and leaves. Like,
he walks away.
Yeah.
He sensed that someone was coming near the prison, and he had to go up there and use his scope to see it was Michonne. So that's episode 15. Pretty decent one, I thought.
Yeah.
Though I must say, I thought Walking Dead tradition, since this being the second-to-last episode of the season, I thought there was going to be the big battle would happen then, you know, that they would have a big fight. And there'd be a lot of casualties and stuff, and then the last episode would be kind of the aftermath of all that.
Yeah, I was expecting that too.
So, once this one ends, then you're thinking, okay, for sure the big old battle with, you know, many deaths on both sides is coming up in episode 16, and then we don't even really get that either.
Yeah.
So the whole,
which I didn't find disappointing. It was just odd.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it was bad. It was just not what my expectations were, I guess.
Right.
I found it pretty disappointing. Like I felt like this episode, the final episode, would have been an okay middle of the season episode, but to have this be the finale, I was definitely disappointed by it. I felt like there was too little actually resolved, and it just left me wanting, you know, some sort of actual resolution.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they've kind of resolved Woodbury because they took them to the prison, you know, all the people to the
prison. And by the way, why didn't Rick just move everyone to Woodbury rather than...
I thought about that, too.
Bring them to the prison. Because the prison has...
Go ahead. Prison's more secure, maybe?
It is, if you would fix the damage or whatever. I just don't think that Woodbury is a sustainable place, because I thought that they had, like, 70-some people there, and probably half of them were armed guys that could walk on the walls and shit.
I guess.
Like, they were just ramshackle walls made of, you know, tin roofs and barbed wire and stuff, whereas the prison has actual walls. I don't know.
Except for that giant fucking hole in the back. And by the way, I thought it was ridiculous at the very beginning of the season when, you know, they make the mention, oh, what's Rick doing? He's walking around for, you know, 6 hours straight now. And they're saying, oh, he's looking for holes. If there is a hole in the fence, he would find it. And then, you know, four episodes later, there's a giant fucking hole in the backyard. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he forgot to look there.
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. I get what you're saying about being disappointed. I guess I wasn't real. The only thing I was disappointed with was the whole Andrea thing, that we had to spend so much time of the episode with her in that room. And then, you know, the big kind of emotional, supposedly, ending to this whole season is her death, when none of us really give a shit. And you're just kind of like, okay, that's it. That's the big thing. All right, you know, give me the next season, because nobody cared about that.
It was odd because she ended up kind of just being, like, for the entire season, like a plot device to give us perspective in Woodbury. Because if you think about it, she accomplished nothing from episode one to the end. Like, she didn't, I don't know, like, she didn't develop as a person, I don't think, so it wasn't interesting to watch. And she, like, I don't know, just shuttled back and forth between the two people, and she obviously belonged with one group but always went back to the other one and didn't end up accomplishing anything. She killed a few zombies, but whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. As she continues being useless, as she, you know, pauses for extended periods of time to check in on Milton when she should be continuing to try to free herself.
Right.
Oh,
like a fucking idiot.
Just all those scenes with her and Milton, I was just sick of them.
I loved the like, Milton half of the thing when he was alive and Milton was saying, you know, no, I'm going to die. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to free yourself, then you're going to come over and bash me upon the neck and head.
The way he said it was, so funny. Like, you're going to push something sharp into my head and kill me, or something like that.
Right.
Just so, like, scientific or cold about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked that portion of it.
Sure.
And I like, you know, I like Milton as a character. I think it was neat. Like, Milton had a nice little character arc this season where he goes from a man of science who's convinced that these zombies retain some sort of humanity, that you need to be able to, that you might be able to bring it out of them, to finally, when he's dying, he accepts the fact that he's going to become this mindless automaton who is only there to eat Lori eat Andrea.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a really nice character arc, and, you know, I wish that they would be able to do that with everyone. Whereas with Andrea, like Derek was saying, there's, you know, she did nothing. She grew zero. She was there just as a plot device and, you know, basically got people pissed off at her.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Michonne basically took over her spot in the group or whatever and has done a better job at it.
Right. So, now, the one thing that I thought that reminds me now that you're talking about, you know, what did she really accomplish and all this, and I was reading an interview with Kirkman after the finale that was kind of wrapping up, talking about the season in general, and that was one of the questions. They were like, well, Andrea didn't really do, you know, accomplish anything or get anything done, and in his opinion, he thought that her legacy or her accomplishment was getting the two sides to trust each other enough that all the people in Woodbury are okay jumping on the bus and joining Rick's group. But I don't think that really ever comes out, or that you would be able to jump to that conclusion. You know, had I not read that, I would have never thought that. And then even reading it, I still don't agree with it.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, if anything, she might have endeared the Woodbury people a little bit to the prison people, but not vice versa. Like, she never gave any... She gave that one corny speech to the Woodbury people, but that was about staying in Woodbury.
Right.
So, I don't know. It was more the Tyrese guy and the fact that this woman comes back from their town.
Karen.
And that, the governor just shot everybody. So.
Yeah, that's probably enough to motivate him. Not
like, I like that woman better than Andrea, and I didn't even know her name.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be a love interest for Rick next season. That's my prediction.
That's pretty crazy prediction. I thought she was going to kill the governor when he ran out of bullets and didn't kill her, and she was laying on the ground. I thought she's going to come back around and be the one to kill him, like in the middle of another battle.
How shitty would that have been, though?
It would have been disappointing. But for some reason, I just thought that's what's going to happen.
I wanted Martinez to kill him because Martinez was clearly.
He was definitely taken aback.
To see what the hell was happening.
Yeah.
Whatever. So.
Why the hell didn't Alan kill him? Like, as the governor is mowing down everyone,
right.
Alan pulls a gun at him, on him, and is just like holds it there for, you know, a minute, and until the governor turns over and looks at him, and then shoots him. Like, I don't know. There's a whole lot of people not behaving as people would in this episode.
Yeah, I thought for sure, once the governor turns around, you just know that guy's dead, you know?
Yeah. Like,
you know he's not going to pull the trigger, and he is dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if somebody would have bet me, you know, $100 that the governor does not die during this season, I would have taken that bet for sure.
Yeah, I would have told him to get out of town.
Yeah, like he's definitely dying, either in the finale or the second to the last. So I, you know, never once during that episode until there was 10 seconds left did I think, wow, he's actually not going to die this season.
Yeah. I actually did make that bet with someone at work. They were saying, oh, the governor's going to go into the next season. I'm like, you're out of your gourd. Yeah. You know, the governor has to die this season. It's the only option because that's the only... That's the only way to have good storytelling is to have, you know, this whole chapter come to a close, and it didn't happen.
Yeah,
so I lost that bet $5.
Yeah, I would have too. Good thing it wasn't for $100.
Yeah.
But then I'm not really, you know, at the time I was just shocked by that didn't happen. But that guy, he makes such a good, you know, villain that you want to hate, that pisses you off, that I think it'll be neat having him back for another season.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the governor when he was ambiguous, when he was, you know, yeah, he killed those army guys, but, you know, that was probably the best way for him to continue having power at Woodbury, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He needed their supplies. I liked when they were, you know, Rick and the governor looked like, you know, two sides of the same coin. But then as the season has progressed and he's been pushed further and further into a cartoon villain where he's killing his own men because he's angry, like, you know, it gets to the point where he's not relatable anymore. He's not someone who has normal motivations that you can, you know, identify.
Yeah, I just think next season will be interesting because he no longer has his people, you know, his constituents or whatever. He doesn't have his city anymore. He's got only two henchmen, so it just feels like he's going to be more of a he's not going to be the governor anymore. He's just going to be like some wild card out there, and yeah. You know, he doesn't have the ability to just overpower small groups of survivors anymore, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, what I'm hoping they do is they have, like, the show comes back for the next season, they don't even mention him for, you know, 8 episodes or whatever, and you know, at, right before they go into the mid-season, like, off for the mid-season finale, like, he comes back and kills half of them or something like that. Like, I kind of want that surprise, that, you know, that shock value. That's what I'm hoping. Because I'm really not interested in another season of, you know, Governor being this menacing guy on the fringe. Like, that doesn't really interest me. I'm hoping that they go a different direction somehow.
Yeah, I don't think he can be kind of this overarching villain of the whole of another whole season. Right. I think they'll have to have another storyline or multiple storylines.
Well, they're going to be dealing with how to keep all these damn old people and kids alive.
Right, so. Right.
So I think there will be a lot more just straight up adventure, trying to survive with this bigger group.
Right.
Yeah, the resources and all that, and I'm sure that that's where the governor will come into play. Ambush him
on some run,
running
into the old governor. So I guess we talked about the part that, you know, was disappointing, the whole Andrea wasting a lot of time, and I'm not even sure how a wrench gets handcuffs off of the wrench anyway, but regardless, she, you know, wasted a lot of time, sucked, died, nobody cared, wasted a lot of time the episode with that. But one of the things, kind of going the opposite of that, that I liked and I thought that was interesting and worth talking about is what Carl did this episode and him killing the shotgun kid.
Yeah, I thought that was badass. 'Cause
I see that kid was being weird anyway. Like, I was kind of thinking, like, you better shoot him now, because why would you not just throw the fucking gun on the ground like you were told to do? He's like, well, here, take it. He's like handing it over real slow.
I do feel like it had that they intentionally left it open to interpretation. That, you know, like you said, you would want to see him just throw it down and hold his hands up, or he would, you know, try to pull the gun on him and you would know for sure. But I like that they kind of left that ambiguity where he was handing it over, but he could have just been trying to trap him or get a jump on him or something. So that leaves a little bit of ambiguity to it and a little bit of you can relate with Carl a little bit better. So, you know, you don't think Carl's going full-blown psychopath. You know, it could be that he was just being a reasonable kid.
Right, right. I think that's the thing that's interesting. There are discussions you can have, and you can have the two sides of it. Was, you know, he has a point, not just in shooting that kid, but in everything he says to Rick after that, where he, you know, you could have killed this governor, I could have killed the zombie that got Dale, you know, we could have killed this guy, that guy, and it always has come back to bite us, you know. There's a point to that, the, you know, shoot first, ask questions later in the world of The Walking Dead. But then there's the other side of it of, you know, has he lost his humanity and should he have given him a chance and that kind of thing. And I feel like we've seen that with Rick, and now it's like Carl is going through that same thing where, you know, at the beginning Rick wanted to trust everybody. Then he went through the phase, trust no one, and, you know, Carl has followed along with that, and now that Rick is kind of come full circle back to, we're going to bring people into the group, we're going to be more trusting, Carl's pissed off about that, and he doesn't want any part of that.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that they develop this whole interplay with Carl a little bit more, because having read the comics, and, like, I really believe that ostensibly, it's Rick's story. Rick is the main character, but I truly believe that it's more Carl is the main character. It's Carl's story, even though he can sometimes be a secondary character in his own story. And I'd like to see them develop that a little bit more and see, you know, where Carl goes and how a kid grows up in this sort of, you know, screwed up landscape.
Yeah.
Agreed. Well, that's all I've got for the episode. Do you guys, any other thoughts?
I'm just surprised that only Let's see, Andrea Milton. I guess that's it. Andrea Milton died this episode. That's it, right?
Yeah, well, unnamed governor helpers.
Yeah, no one cares about them.
Right.
But
Countless governor helpers.
All yeah. just running away instead of turning around and shooting.
Yeah, because they're like all armed.
Yeah.
I thought for sure Beth was a gunner going into this episode.
Yeah, I could have seen Beth, Herschel, and the baby all being killed in this one.
Yeah.
Especially when they went off on their own in
right.
the woods with Carl. I thought, oh, here we go. But I'm glad they didn't. So season 4 is coming in October, I think, right?
Yeah, they always come out, you know, right around Halloween. So
we've got a good 6+ months.
Yep.
Get excited.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what the new showrunner does, if it significantly changes, or I really am interested to see where they take the next season, because in the comic, the prison storyline and the governor storyline were really the, I feel like, the high point of the comic, and all the storylines post prison, I felt, were relatively weak. So, I'm interested to see where they take it and how they approach it going forward. Because I think at this point in the comic, they have like a big throwdown with the governor. They beat the governor, but they don't kill him. Then he comes back later and like totally destroys all the prison's defenses with a tank. And so everyone kind of gets scattered to the wind and starts wandering around and having more adventures outside the prison walls. So we'll see if that, you know, follows the same kind of trajectory.
Indeed.
All right, well, I think that's it for our Walking Dead Season 3 discussion. Our TV discussion will continue, though, with the Game of Thrones Season 3. We'll have a few episodes about that coming up soon.
Also Under the Dome.
Also Under the Dome. Let's pray to God that it doesn't have CBS syndrome.
Yeah. That would be terrible. Although I feel like I heard that they're approaching this as a miniseries rather than a ongoing series.
That's
so
good.
So perhaps they won't get in the CBS standard operating procedure where it's all, you know, procedurals and no real, you know, story progression.
Yeah. Yep. Let's hope so. All right, well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. Shoot us an email at antidotepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the episode. Tell us what we got wrong, or give us suggestions for future shows. So we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.